and you say to yourself, okay, when did I feel this way as a kid? Because it all starts in the deformative years. That's where these neuro associations, these triggers began. When did I feel this crazy and this hurt? Oh yeah, when my dad was always looking at his watch at my baseball game and he kept leaving to take business calls.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight it's my pleasure and honor to be with you here on another episode. It's always so thrilling. We're closing in on 250 episodes. Can you believe it? I know I can't. I just think it's awesome that we're continuing to reach so many amazing people around the world. And talk about amazing, I've got an amazing guest on tonight. Her name is Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and she's known to millions as Dr. Love through her website, Ask Dr. Love. And that was the first website and immensely popular relationship advice website. Started clear back in 1995. Just amazing to me when I think of all of the amazing changes the internet has brought to us, how we can have this chat here that's going to be so exciting, because we're going to talk to Dr. Turndorf about up-leveling our energy. Now, oftentimes with autoimmune, some of the things that come along with it is feeling a little punk, feeling a little low, maybe a little fatigue, but it also can get us down, I'll say sort of spiritually and emotionally too. It's like, oh gosh. So we're going to talk about how she helps people discover vibrancy, joy, prosperity, and just radical transformation in every area of their life. So I'm going to jump right in. I could keep going with her amazing bio, but I want to have all the time with her. Welcome, Dr. Jamie, to the show.
Hi, I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so thrilled to see you, bringing us all that lovely tropical background there to bring more sunshine into. I'm up in the Pacific Northwest right now and I've got my sweater on, so it's lovely to see.
I thought that's really great for everybody's immune system. Just see the tropics, feel the sun basking on you.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Now, one of the things, as I said in the introduction, it's really easy to fall into that area where you wake up feeling slightly fatigued or whatever it's going on in your life that's physical, and just let it drag down your whole being. And I wanted to talk to you tonight about ways that even if we're feeling slightly physically, I'll use the word punk, how we can do other things that not only will change us internally, but also change the physical body, like externally as well.
Well, you know, I have become a magnesium missionary.
I love that, magnesium missionary.
That's a missionary position, right?
So explain, what's a magnesium missionary?
So I mean, this is, my life is so divinely guided that I follow where spirit takes me, right? And you know that for, you know, decades, I was mainstream relationship shrink, Ask Dr. Love, syndicated radio show, Ask Dr. Love, books, website. And then you know that for almost 30 years, I was married to the love of my life, Jean Pain. Well, actually, he was known when he was a Jesuit priest as Emile Pain. And he and I were inseparable, crazy for each other. And the long story short is he left his body from a bee sting while we were on vacation in Italy.
Wow.
And the minute he left his body, I, you know, this devoutly atheist doctor who didn't believe in God, the afterlife, nothing, he showed me that we don't die. We just leave our bodies. And he brought about a lot of healing in my life, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I needed to wait till he was out of his body in order for him to really reach me and heal me in a very profound way. Because when our loved ones in spirit are freed from the physical vessel of the human body, the energy of the soul essence is much easier to enter into our physical bodies. So he came to me. He showed me that reconnecting to our loved ones in spirit, who are one with God, and God is love, right? So reconnecting with our loved ones in spirit is our fast track to healing in mind, body, spirit, and emotion. And he said to me very early on, Jamie, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So I wrote my memoir of my reconnection with Jean. Hay House published it. It's called Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, because I'm a shrink, right? And I've spent my whole professional life helping people heal the unfinished business that exists in our intimate relationships. And we know that relationship conflict is a massive immune suppressant. People with chronic relationship conflict have much shorter lifespans. So I, you know, my first book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, that was my first sale.
I love that title.
Actually, I first published it under the title Till Death Do Us Part Unless I Kill You First. But so that was all about helping us resolve our conflicts with those on the earth plane, which really helps your immune system incredibly, because we know chronic relationship conflict, unresolved conflict weakens our immune system, damages the endothelial cells in our body, produces excess cortisol, which basically produces a shortened lifespan. So after Jean left his body, I brought my conflict resolution method to the world of after-death communication, and I began showing people how to resolve their lingering conflicts with those in spirit. Okay, so you see there's a thread here, right? And we're working on the immune system through the relationship. Okay, so long story short, my husband told me after he left his body he was going to send me a man. And he outlined who he was, younger, never married, no kids, the whole story. And he sends him. And it's like love at first sight for both of us, but it has a sad ending because the guy was a four-time Afghanistan vet. And he was so broken and needed to hide in his cave. But in the process of this relationship with him, I started researching how to heal PTSD. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as I started researching, I discovered magnesium. But magnesium doesn't just cure PTSD, which, by the way, we all have some degree of, because all it takes is one stress in your deformative years. That's true. all it takes is one stress, one physical illness, one accident, and your body excretes every bit of magnesium. All right. And you never recover. You never, ever recover. You can't, because the dose we would need to take orally to fix our depleted magnesium stores would cause diarrhea. So magnesium is necessary for 1,000 functions in the body. And most of the diseases we suffer are actually a magnesium deficiency in disguise. And there's a lot of research about this. NIH published research. I'm talking from everything to do with your neurological system, your endocrine system, your immune system requires magnesium. So I start using it on this guy and I see massive improvements. So now I become the magnesium missionary. Okay. So the long story short is he stops the magnesium. And I am so heartbroken because, you know, the free will. If you don't want to continue taking the magnesium, I mean, I can't give it to you in enema form, although maybe I could, but that's another story. Yeah. We're not forcing remedies on anyone. So I am so heartbroken that I move to Florida. And there I meet the national distributors of electromagnesium, which is transdermal magnesium, because this is how we get around the oral administration and the diarrhea, and we apply it on our skin. So I began incorporating magnesium into all my work, the transdermal magnesium in everything. And I was channeled a new energetic healing method called the energetic system upgrade. And this one, my husband will not leave me in peace. You know, when I have to go in a direction. I'm running my coach's training, you know, the transdimensional grief resolution method, where I'm teaching coaches now how to help others reconnect and heal unfinished business. And we're in a Zoom meeting. And I had been asking my husband, you know, how am I supposed to be shifting now? I feel there's some kind of energetic work I'm supposed to be doing. And we hear the computer. The voice says, excuse me, time for a system upgrade. The computer starts. Like, okay, I get it. Nobody's computer did it. Mine didn't do it. My husband plays these games. So he gave me the name energetic system upgrade. But I still didn't know magnesium was a part of it till I met with Sabina and Michael, the publishers of Masters of Health magazine and the U.S. distributors of Electra Magnesium. So now I incorporated the Electra Magnesium, and I don't even sell it. This is a true missionary. You know, I'm Poe. I don't even sell this stuff. I don't sell it. I'm not a distributor. I just incorporated it into my work. And I just came back from 1440 Multiversity. You know, I'm there for people. If you have, you know, immune problems, physical problems, emotional conflicts with people you love, relationship problems, psychological impasses, I now begin every energetic system upgrade by putting this transdermal magnesium on the heart. It's like a paddle. It reboots our electrical system because remember, you know, when people have heart attacks, they inject magnesium right in the heart.
Because it sounds terrible, but
it's the only way to reverse it because it's an electromagnetic pulsing machine. If you don't have enough magnesium, your heart doesn't work. But it also doesn't work for emotional interactions. And if you don't have enough magnesium, your whole immune system isn't working right. So that's like a real shortcut, fast track to really helping you. Because even if your magnesium is low, you're not interacting well, you're irritable, you're fighting, you're hyper-emotional. That's all part of low magnesium levels. So if your magnesium isn't right, your relationships aren't right, your immunity is down. So that was a long answer. That is my, you know, my go-to for helping people, and it's like a charge. If you want, you use it and you get like an electrical charge where your body starts to fire correctly on a cellular level.
How do we know if we are low? I mean, we could say yes to some.
Oh, wonderful question.
But is there a blood test?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. So turns out most of us are living in a state of ignorance. We all think I'm not low because the serum blood tests, right, show that we have normal magnesium. It's not an accurate measure. Why? Because you need to have adequate magnesium in the blood for your heart to pump. If your serum is low, you have a heart attack. So what the body does is it pulls the magnesium from our muscles, our bones, our cells, our tissues, so that it's circulating in the bloodstream. So everybody looks like he or she is normal. But we're not. 80% of the population is deficient. You know, you might have fatigue. That's a classic symptom. Fibromyalgia, autoimmune conditions, Parkinson's. These are all connected to low magnesium. Muscle cramps, restless leg, headache. All the things that I always thought were, you know, just physical conditions. The mind and the body is one. Mm-hmm. You know, and magnesium is the master mineral. So we are all deficient. We all have some degree of post-traumatic stress because we don't survive early life unscathed. Most of us come from pretty crazy families. I'm no exception. I talk about this in my memoir. So, and then again, if you're lucky to have survived your childhood, you know, in terms of interactional craziness and dysfunctional relationships in the first family, well, accidents and illnesses get us too, and we deplete of magnesium. We're all deficient. I'm absolutely convinced of this.
How do you know if you have too much, though? I'm curious.
You can't have too much. The cells of the body, magnesium is the one thing you cannot overdose on. Because the way it works is your cells need to be saturated so that in the event you have an accident or an illness or a shock, your body can pull it from the cells. And our bodies store it in every cell. And when we take in what we need, it just goes right into the cells like a reserve, in the same way that you might hold sugar in reserve in your liver for when you need it in the event of a fight, flight, or stress reaction. And you ask, how can you test? There's a test called the EXATEST, EXATEST.com, which is a cheek swab. It's like a DNA test that tells you what's going on a cellular level. And then you know.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So let's jump ahead and say that we're doing the magnesium. We're okay with all of that. What are some ways that we can put into practice, as you say, up-leveling, upgrading our energy systems?
So number one, okay, so once your magnesium is, you know, I'm giving a workshop tomorrow. I'm giving a talk and a workshop at the Jamar Enlightenment Center. And what I'm going to explain to everybody is, once your brain is firing correctly and your heart is firing correctly and you are not a nervous wreck and you're not anxious and stressed out, now you're in a position to learn my communication techniques. Because we really need to make our relationships an oasis of love and healing. I mean, that is the first life on the earth plane is what I call our love lab. We are here to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. Most of us are so messed up from copying dysfunctional patterns in our first family, recreating the worst traumas of our childhood, trying to get it right, you know, like we're like dogs with a bone chasing our tail. And we're so chemically imbalanced that we just get trapped in these fighting loops. But we need to correct our biochemistry and then learn the techniques for interacting in ways that make our intimate relationships an oasis of love and healing. Because I also believe, in addition to our intimate relationships being the love lab, our intimate relationships are where we have the opportunity to help each other heal. That our intimate relationships are where we play out the repetitions of the most dysfunctional aspects of our first family relationships. And when you learn how to do this right, you can create a healing for each other in your intimate relationship. I can give you an example of what I mean if you'd like.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So
I'm thinking I might want to be able to, I'm on board. How do I get the other party on board?
Oh, okay. And the thing is, you know, we can be pebbles in a pond. You cast that proverbial pebble in the pond, you change the surface of the pond. You become aware of what your old scars are from childhood, become aware of what your partner's old scars are, somebody who you're intimate with, and you can heal you and your partner simultaneously. And they don't even have to know you're doing it, but you're doing it because we're here to help each other heal. Here's an example. So a husband and wife are out to dinner. And the husband keeps checking his watch, right? And she blows a gasket. If you can't wait to get rid of me, then let's get the fucking check. And I said, you know, I didn't have to do the PG thing because this is Zoom, right? So let's get the check. Let's get out of here. You can't wait to be rid of me. She's blowing a gasket. What happened? We human beings are wired to associate present day events with the traumas we suffered in childhood. We are constantly comparing present-day events with the traumas we suffered. I call this the emotional lake effect. Now, you know about the actual lake effect, where a storm gathers force as it sweeps across the Great Lakes, right? And it picks up force in the moisture gathering, and then it dumps this huge storm on the leeward shores. Our psyches do the same thing. We all carry these traumas from our deformative years, and we're constantly seeing, reliving these traumas, and we don't even know it. When we make the comparison and the association, we are in the middle of an emotional lake effect. The problem is it's happening unconsciously. We don't even realize. In the case of this couple, her husband reminded her of a father who never had time for her. Never came to her games, couldn't wait to be rid of her. So her mind saw him looking at the wristwatch and she's thinking, he can't get rid of me quick enough, just like my father. Her emotional lake effect. She's now all activated. She's in the fight flight response, or HPA, hippocampus atlas activation, which is basically she's blowing an emotional gasket. Her physiology is going crazy. She's depleting her magnesium. And then she dumps her storm, her emotional storm, on her partner. And he's like, what? I was just looking at my watch to make sure to feed the meter on time. What the heck's going on? You know, this happens to us all the time. We're constantly dumping our emotional garbage on other people and having huge fights, and we don't even know what happened. We don't even know why. If you're having a strong emotional reaction, seems disproportionate to the trigger, and you can't shake it, that's an emotional lake effect. That's an old scar from childhood. So what I teach people how to do is to become acutely aware of what the old scars are and then use the relationship to help each other heal. As you help each other heal, guess what? Your immune system functions better. You're not in a constant fight, because as we heal our old scars together, we don't get so worked up and we don't fight.
Wow. That's so beautiful. We need to take a quick commercial break, Dr. Jamie. We'll be right back, everyone. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Jamie about how to become aware of those triggers. And my words, not hers. We'll see if they're right. It's like short circuit it before we hit that leeward shore. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. She's known to millions as Dr. Love through her website, AskDrLove.com. And she is a highly sensitive, skilled doctor with over 35 years of experience in helping people discover vibrancy, joy, love, prosperity, radical transformation in all areas of their lives. And we're just finding out so much tonight about these triggers from childhood, the traumas. They can be big T traumas, little T traumas, doesn't matter. How that's one big system that we really aren't taught, as at least I never till recently looked at, this physical, emotional, spiritual, mental part is all one big system. I don't know why. But let's talk about, so maybe in that story, I became aware of a trigger or a pattern. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see I do something similar. Yet sometimes I just, you know, you feel so overwhelmed. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't stop.
Right.
What are some clues to stop?
Well, the thing is, once you get that activated, your boat is already sinking, right? So, I mean, it's
kind
of
this
like
metaphor we've got. So your boat is already sinking.
Yeah. We want to float the boat, right? We don't want to sink the ship of your relationship. So, okay, this is a process of self-awareness. And there's also a decision that you have to make. When you feel yourself getting activated, it is much easier to dump a bag of crap on the other person's head because you temporarily feel better, right?
Right.
When I get my rocks off on you, I feel better. But on the rocks is where my relationship is going to end up. And on the rocks is where my immune system is going to end up. But people so often get trapped in the, I'm going to get my rocks off in the moment because it feels good. You've activated me. I'm going to dump a bag of crap on you. So that we have to, as a collective society, decide, I've decided I'm going to grow up. I'm not going to gratify myself because it just feels good. And then I pay the price, because I always say, whatever you say and do boomerangs back on you. And while it feels good to dump on the other person, you hurt the other, you hurt yourself. Now he or she has a resentment toward you, he's going to pay you back, and your boat's sinking again, deeper and deeper, and just it's shifting farther and farther away from any safe shore, okay? So you have to make a decision, and I'm going to give an example of a flasher. You're going to say, what the heck does a flasher have to do with this? So you never know what's going to come up with me. And in this case...
That's true, Dr. Jamie.
in this case, we're talking about his p***. And I know, stay with me, because it connects to what I'm talking about. So about 35 years ago, a very wealthy family in New York City said, will you please help our son-in-law? He's just been arrested for flashing. So he comes into my office. I was in New York City, and I said to him, listen, this is an impulse disorder. You have to learn to keep your dick in your pants. As simple as that. Every time you have the urge to whip it out, you've got to hear me say, keep your dick in your pants. Now, once you make the decision to control the urge, now we can slow it down and figure out all the thoughts and the feelings and the internal struggles and conflicts. Because every time you act on the feeling, you get a release. You feel better. But the problem just continues. You're kicking the can down the road. Okay. Same with when we whip it out. You got to keep a civil tongue in your mouth. You got to don't whip your tongue out. It's the same thing. Keep your tongue in your pants. You get what I mean? So you have to make the decision. I'm going to grow up and I'm going to control myself. Once you're activated, it's your job to go off by yourself, splash water on your face, and now do your self-work. You know, I outline how to do all this in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. Your self-work consists of drawing what I call a fight map. And the first step is stripping. And I don't mean getting naked. I mean stripping the overt content of the fight. So what we do is we strip it away, because it's a smokescreen. It's a cover. People get caught in the overt fight, and then they go down the drain. Oh, well, you looked at your watch. Then he says, well, you don't look at your girl show. You see, you're lost in the overt content. So you strip away the watch and whatever it is that you're fighting about, and you chart what's called, what I call the emotional course of the fight. We're back on the boat again, right? So that your mm-hmm. boat doesn't sink, you chart the emotional course. And you say to yourself, okay, when did I feel this way as a kid? Because it all starts in the deformative years. That's where these neuro associations, these triggers began. When did I feel this crazy and this hurt? Oh, yeah, when my dad was always looking at his watch at my baseball game and he kept leaving to take business calls. Oh, so you make the connection. Now what you're doing is you are uncovering your old scar, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once you know what your old scar is, you are golden, because the next time you get triggered, you're going to be able to say, oh, that's my old scar. Now, the beauty of recognizing that your partner, whoever you're conflicting with, is not the Antichrist. He's just a triggering agent. Now you are able to communicate with that person, so that that person becomes your ally in healing rather than your enemy, whose vital bodily parts you're trying to rip off and shove down his throat. See what I mean? So as my ally, I'm going to say to you, may I tell you what just happened for me? Now the person leans in, because I'm not attacking you. I'm telling you something happened to me. And then I use the XY formula. That's the third part of Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. I describe what was said or done in neutral language, not when you looked at your fucking wristwatch. No, when I saw the glancing down at the wristwatch, notice how neutral that was. The glancing, not you glanced. You just take you even out of the sentence, makes it more neutral. So when I saw the glancing down at the clock, now you say what it reminded you of. It reminded me of when my dad always did X, Y, and Z. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to feel so hurt, and I went crazy, and I didn't even realize it. Now, look what happens. Your partner is leaning in. Oh, my gosh. I am empathizing with the pain you suffered. I am your ally here. And I want to give you a corrective experience. And this is how we use the intimate relationship for healing. And all I ever needed him to do was put his arms around me and say, I love being with you. I'm so proud of you on the sports field. You see, and that's what I realized. This is where you tell the other person what is the healing you needed then and what healing you need now in order to use this relationship to heal the old scar. I need you to tell me you love being with me and you don't want to ditch me. You just want to feed the meter. Now the other person's got his arms around you and telling you that's exactly what I want. And that moment has gone such a long way to healing your old scar, and you're using your relationship to do it.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And I want to ask a question related to that. If, let's say, it isn't in a relationship where I want the other person to be that evolved with me, I'm thinking of a time when I was talking to a friend who actually went through that, but she didn't feel in the right position. And she actually gave herself a pat on the back.
Absolutely. So, you know, if you have no relationship, or for whatever reason, this partner is not available, perhaps you're in a relationship that's a very unhealthy repetition, and that person is not available or willing, we must reparent ourselves. We must give ourselves the corrective experience. I'll give you an example of this. I have a patient who was talking to me about the fact that wherever she goes, she's afraid to let a man in because she's afraid he'll abandon her and hurt her the way her husband did. And she's afraid that women will be jealous of her if she's thin. Everybody is going to hurt her. And she's this helpless babe in the woods, mm-hmm. right? Defenseless against men, defenseless against a woman being a bitch. And I said, you notice the theme is the same. You're helpless. You come to every interaction as a little child, hoping other people will take care of you and protect you and parent you. And I said, this is why you're sunk. We're back to the boat again. So you have to be willing to be your own mom and say, look, I got a mouth. If a woman does some bitchcraft on me, I can say, whoa, that was bitchy. My mouth, my voice is the way I set boundaries, or I distance myself from someone. That's how I protect myself. I parent myself. I'm the parent protecting me. I keep one eyebrow raised with a new man. He's under scrutiny until I determine he's worth my letting my eyebrow and my guard down, right? You know, so how come you don't want to reparent yourself? Now, here's the tricky thing, because a lot of people talk about inner child healing and they say, oh, you know, it's so easy. But they don't do it. And you'll hear people who have been abandoned and abused in childhood saying, oh, I don't know how to do this for myself. I didn't have decent parenting. I don't know how to reparent myself. But yet, they're good mothers.
Oh.
You know, and they know how to do it for children or strangers or those that they're volunteering for or dogs. Or they know how to do it, but they won't do it for themselves. Why? Because we humans have an unconscious resistance to reparenting ourselves, just as this patient of mine did have a resistance. And now I have to bring up the lesbian story.
Okay. I'm feeling like we're taking a left turn here, because I want to know how you reparent yourself. But
this, and the lesbian is going to explain how.
Okay.
Abandoned, abused, mother burned her with cigarettes.
Oh my.
She would not reparent herself. She became a lesbian because she was looking for moms to reparent her. And it was a kind of hostile dependency. Every girlfriend has to be my mother and take care of me and make it up to me for what my mother didn't give. When we get gypped in childhood, there's this unconscious wish that somebody else should take care of us and reparent us. We got gypped. It's not my job to be my own mother. Somebody else should do it. And that was what the sticking point was being. And then I told my patient yesterday about the lesbian story. And I said, you're in a snit. You're basically saying, I'm not going to reparent myself. The man should look out for me. And she said, oh my gosh, that's why I have resisted reparenting myself. So if you find yourself not wanting to hold yourself and give yourself the words, the corrective experience, make sure you're not in that lesbian dance, you know. And I'm not saying only lesbians have the problem. It's just the lesbian story, because that was the first patient I ever treated with that problem.
Wow. We need to take one final quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about this resistance to reparenting herself. I'm fascinated, Dr. Jamie. We'll be right back.
your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at PinkyChenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and we have just been having an amazing conversation about what happens to us in our life, and I'll say when we get in a snit, when we're triggered, when we're going off on other people, and I'm absolutely fascinated by this idea. I've talked to a lot of people about autoimmune and the problems of trauma, self-worth, self-love, self-compassion. And I've heard before, they said, well, you know, I've done all the work. Now, let's say I have the awareness that I have been resisting it. How do you break down the resistance? Because sometimes awareness doesn't always lead to action.
So listen, when you know how the quantum physicists say that when you observe an object, it's forever changed,
yes.
Right? When we meditate, we just observe. We observe a thought, a pattern, and it changes all by itself. It's like the quantum field shifts. I don't believe in trying to change anything. When a person comes to me, and I mean, look, I've been in practice now going on 36 years.
Started
I've had people come to me over. I know, I was an embryo. So when I had my PhD when I was still in diapers, that's PhD. Yeah. So when people come to me, and I've had people, you know, the victims of cognitive behavioral therapy, oh, I have to change this action and this behavior, and they're worse. When you try to force change on yourself, your unconscious resists, and it will double down, and it will make your problem even worse. And now you'll feel even worse about yourself because you're a failure in your efforts to change, and you have the original problem. Do not try to change anything. Observe. In the same way that the quantum field shifts when you observe an object, in the same way things shift when you just meditate, make your life a living meditation. Observe the resistance. Do nothing but that. And the simple act of being aware and holding it in your awareness and observing it, it will dissolve naturally on its own, whatever that pattern is. Do not try to force change down your throat.
Oh, wow. You know, it brought up a story one time that I had where in my body language work, when I was, this is early on in my studies, I was doing a lot of choreography, which looks very forced and really weird, right? When you're like, oh, they told me to do this gesture or that gesture, and it just looks weird. And then one day I was talking to someone, and it was afterwards, as I sort of rewind the videotape, that all of a sudden I had this great big smile on my face. I said, oh, I finally integrated it. It's finally natural. It's finally part of who I am. And when right. I gave up this idea of, oh, this doesn't work, I'm not going to choreograph this gesture.
Just, we don't want to choreograph like this. We just want to be aware and observe. And the universe is amazing. Once we put something in our observational awareness, we just shift. So, like, for example, with this patient that I was speaking to, you know, don't make yourself do anything, but just observe that feeling every time you think, oh, I can't trust him. Oh, there it goes again. The little girl who wants to give herself over to the man and ask him to take care of it. Just watch it. So, oh, there it is again. Interesting. Another manifestation of that resistance to just be my own mom. And that's all you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of a show we did with Sarah Payton, and she works about resonant languaging. And one of the phrases she used that I found so powerful when I'm having one of those moments, inner conversations with the little child, inner child, she used this phrase like, no wonder. And I just felt, I use that some
neutral.
Yeah,
it's neutral. Neutral. Ah, and I say, ah, there it is again. You see? See, I like there it is again because I'm actually asking myself to be watching for it.
Oh, great. Yes.
So you see the difference? No wonder is kind of a neutral. Oh, no wonder you're screwed up in this way. No wonder. No. But I like, ah, there it is again, because I'm giving you the suggestion to keep your eyes peeled for it. Mm. We want the observing ego. That's the part of the psyche that's capable of watching us. That observing ego is a muscle. That muscle is what helps us heal and evolve and grow and change. So we want that observing eagle to be observing eagle. like an eagle in the corner looking down upon us, our higher self watching. We want that part of ourself and that muscle to get stronger. So, ah, there it is again. I'm watching for this.
Okay, so we're in that, and I am then controlling my tongue and I'm observing it. What happens if I still just feel like I need to vent? Do I just go into the bathroom?
I don't agree with, nope. I'm on war against venting. I don't believe in venting because venting is still acting out. It's still discharging. And whether, if we still engage in a practice of venting, it makes it too easy for you then to say, oh, well, I'll vent on him. I'll vent on her. I don't believe in acting out in any way. It's too easy then to act out and vent on ourselves. I believe in observing and describing. So the different venting is, oh, you know, people punching pillows, the catharsis. And by the way, venting doesn't work. It disturbs our body chemistry. We know from research that when you get yourself in this venting thing, you're pounding, you're punching, you're screaming, you are disturbing your body chemistry. You're getting riled up. Not good for your immune system. Not good. What we want to do is we want to be aware of the thought and the feeling, know where it's coming from, and now we want to make the decision, what can I do that will be constructive? So I'm not dumping raw anything on a punching bag or someone else. I'm making a decision what would be a constructive use of this raw feeling. Will talking to the other person be constructive? Then do it. Will journaling be constructive? Do it. But I'm a big fan on make a choice that's going to be constructive for you. I'll give an example. May I?
Absolutely.
Okay. And this is not just constructive for me, because venting has a selfish narcissistic quality. I feel better. I took a crap. No. We always want to do what's good for us physiologically, good for us interactionally, what's good for me, the other person, and our relationship. So some years ago, my old analytic supervisor who trained under Hyman Spotnitz, who trained under Sigmund Freud. So for decades, it was like I had Freud as my supervisor. And he wanted me to write a book with him. And this guy who's an analyst from California, who's joining our New York group remotely over the phone, right? He's never able to come in. He flies in so we can have a meeting. He wants to be in the book. And he turns to me and he says, I would like you to take notes of what transpires in the group, hand me the notes, and then I'll put the theory and write it all up. I was livid. Okay?
I would be too. I guess
I was
we're
livid,
triggered by
okay?
the same thing yeah. there.
But who wouldn't be? It's like, what? Your dick's bigger than my dick. I was livid. Okay. So I immediately made the calculation. Number one, I'm not venting. I'm not venting to him. I'm not going to go home and vent. No. I am going to take that feeling, I'm aware of it, and I am going to convert it into a communication that's assertive, that's taking care of me, and that is constructive for me, him, and our mutual relationship. So I immediately said, I'm not in the project to be a recording secretary. There it was. So I transformed the raw feeling into an assertion, and I left that interchange with my immune system intact. I didn't leave with all this raw emotion. I didn't have to go into the bathroom and scream or get myself all worked up and dumping my crap on him. So you see, we're preserving our immune system in how we choose to just get on top of the raw feeling and convert it into an assertive communication that's beneficial for all. It's a skill, you know?
I think also known as boundaries.
You want?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. We're down just to the last few minutes, Dr. Jamie. What final tips would you like to share and then tell us all about how people can get a hold of you?
Well, in terms of your immune system, obviously you want to surround yourself in love, love yourself, have relationships that are loving, provide yourself the right biochemical nutrients to make sure your body functions properly so that your immunity is high and up. You're treating yourself and interacting in ways that keep your immunity up. I am absolutely all about that electromagnesium. As I said, I don't sell it, but you can find it on Amazon. Amazon.com/Elektra, E-L-E-K-T-R-A, magnesium. You can find me at AskDrLove.com. Join my mailing list there. Get a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Listen to my radio show. I do a TV show as well. So you just become familiar with all the ways that we work to create a love lab in your life to keep your immunity up. Love is healing. Love is your immunity, you know?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamie, for being on the show. Everyone, that's Dr. Jamie Turndorf from AskDrLove.com. And so appreciate you sharing all your wisdom and insight. That's so powerful to understand our triggers and our, as you say, that all the stuff from childhood that we carry around with us for far too long. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Be sure and join me here next week for another brand new episode of the Autoimmune Hour. Join us over at Facebook at understandingautoimmune.com and also on Instagram now. Everyone, as I said, have a great week. See you next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
In the next few moments, take a nice, deep breath. Oh, and let it out with a sigh. Shake out your fingers, your arms, and your shoulders. And keep breathing, enjoying that breath as you kind of shake it all out, let it go. Just look around a little bit right now, wherever you are. Notice what you're grateful for. Could be anything. Could even be the color of the sky today, the sweet smell of the flowers, the breeze on your face, the people you're with, the place you're at. Could be anything and everything. Take stock of all that you're grateful for that you see. Wow. Take stock of a few things maybe that you don't see right now, but you're grateful for. Maybe it's somebody in your life that isn't here with you now. Some place. Whatever it is, take stock of that and add that to that grateful list that's growing. That's right. Shake everything out and just take stock of that gratitude list that we're building. That's right. Just shake it out. Shake everything out. And continue to add to that gratitude list that you're building. That's right. Wow. Quite a list. That's right. What are you grateful for about yourself? Add that to this growing gratitude list. Don't be shy. Don't be humble. Come on. Take a moment right now, starting at the top of that list. Remember, those were the things that you saw right there near you. And count them down, anchoring each one with a beautiful breath. Number one. Number two. Continue on down your list of the things that are right there with you. Anchoring each one with a breath and let it out with a sigh. Allowing enough time to get through the whole list right now. Now start with the list for yourself. Begin to list those things you're grateful for about yourself and anchor each one with a nice deep breath. Just right. That's right. Even being grateful for this moment right here. Right now, feeling every bit of you alive and well. Feeling healing and soothing and calming energy just tingle throughout you. Getting stronger with each breath as your gratitude begins to grow. What a list. What a lucky person. Oh, that's right. Wow. Taking the last few minutes of our time together here right now. Just to enjoy this growing gratitude list that grows with each moment. Each minute, each hour, each day, it continues to grow. It's not just for today. Add to it tomorrow and the next day. That's right. And anchor each one with a nice deep breath. And coming right back now, alive, full of energy, happy to be here, in joy, that's right, and feeling grateful for every moment that you have right now. Welcome back. Go in gratitude and enjoy your day. Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.